Black Jack by Max Brand. Chapter 1. It was characteristic of the two that when the uproar broke out, Vance Cornish raised his eyes, but went on lighting his pipe. Then his sister Elizabeth ran to the window with a swish of skirts around her long legs. After the first shot, there was a lull. The little cattle town was as peaceful as ever, with its storm-shaken houses staggering away down the street. A boy was stirring up the dust on the street, enjoying its heat with his bare toes, and the same old man was bunched in his chair in front of the store. During the 2 days Elizabeth had been in town on her cattle-buying trip, she had never seen him alter his position. But she was accustomed to the West, and this advent of sleep in the town did not satisfy her. A drowsy town, like a drowsy-looking cowpuncher, might be capable of unexpected things. "Vance," she said, "there's trouble starting." "Somebody shooting at a target," he answered. As if to mock him, he had no sooner spoken than a dozen voices yelled down the street in a wailing chorus, cut short by the rapid chattering of revolvers. Vance ran to the window. Just below the hotel, the street made an elbow turn for no particular reason, except that the original cattle trail had made exactly the same turn before Garrison City was built. Toward the corner ran the hubbub at the pace of a running horse. Shouts, shrill, trailing curses, and the muffled beat of hoofs in the dust. A rider plunged into view now, his horse leaning far in to take the sharp angle, and the dust skidding out and away from his sliding hoofs. The rider gave easily and gracefully to the wrench of his mount. And he seemed to have a perfect trust in his horse, for he rode with the reins hanging over the horns of his saddle. His hands were occupied by a pair of revolvers, and he was turned in the saddle. The head of the pursuing crowd lurched around the elbow turn. Fire spat twice from the mouth of each gun. Two men dropped, one rolling over and over in the dust, and the other sitting down and clasping his leg in a ludicrous fashion. But the crowd was checked and fell back. By this time the racing horse of the fugitive had carried him close to the hotel, and now he faced the front, a handsome fellow with long black hair blowing about his face. He wore a black silk shirt, which accentuated the pallor of his face and the flaring crimson of his bandana, and he laughed joyously, and the watchers from the hotel window heard him call, "Go it, Mary! Feed 'em dust, girl!" The pursuers had apparently realized that it was useless to chase. Another gust of revolver shots barked from the turning of the street, and among them a different and more sinister sound, like the striking of two great hammers face on face, so that there was a cold ring of metal after the explosion. At least one man had brought a rifle to bear. Now, as the wild rider darted past the hotel, his hat was jerked from his head by an invisible hand. He whirled again in the saddle, and his guns raised. As he turned, Elizabeth Cornish saw something glint across the street. It was the gleam of light on the barrel of a rifle that was thrust out through the window of the store. The long line of light wobbled, steadied, and fire jetted from the mouth of the gun. The black-haired rider spilled sideways out of the saddle. His feet came clear of the stirrups, and his right leg caught on the cantle. He was flung rolling in the dust, his arms flying weirdly. The rifle disappeared from the window, and a boy's set face looked out. Before the limp body of the fugitive had stopped rolling, Elizabeth Cornish dropped into a chair, sick of face. Her brother turned his back on the mob that closed over the dead man and looked at Elizabeth in alarm. It was not the first time he had seen the result of gunplay, and for that matter, it was not the first time for Elizabeth. Her emotion upset him more than the roar of 100 guns. He managed to bring...